Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend, and I hope so far your Monday has been great and that you have a great week continuing and moving forward. But we're going to start off the week with a little bit of black history. And today we're going to be highlighting a brother by the name of John O. Dabiri. And he's a Nigerian-American biophysicist. He's also a professor of aeronautics and bioengineering. And he currently holds a position at Stanford University in the civil and environmental engineering department. He's also an inventor and a scientist as well. And his work and his research is very groundbreaking. He's best known for his research of hydrodynamics of jellyfish propulsion and the design of a vertical access wind farm that's adapted from watching jellyfish and schooling fish. He's also the director of the Biological Propulsion Laboratory, which examines fluid transports with applications in aquatic locomotion, fluid dynamic energy conversion, and cardiac flows, as well as applying theoretical methods in fluid dynamics and concepts of optimal vortex formation. He was able to use research from watching fish to apply it to wind farms, as well as even the human body and how it works as well. He was also a teacher and dean at the California Institute of Technology, and he was also offered several fellowships. In 2010, he was awarded the MacArthur Fellowship for his theoretical engineering work. And he also established the Caltech Field Laboratory for Optimized Wind Energy, which is in the acronym FLOW stands for that. He established this in 2011. And it's a wind farm which investigates the energy exchange in an array of vertical axis wind turbines. He was honored and awarded a few awards, such as the Young Investigator Award from the Office of Naval Research. He received the Presidential Early Career Award for Scientists and Engineers, and he was named as one of Popular Science Magazine's Brilliant 10 Scientists in 2008. He was also listed as a technology innovator by Bloomberg Businessweek back in 2012. But to get into a little background information on him, his parents are Nigerian immigrants who settled in Toledo, Ohio in 1975, and his father was a mechanical engineer who taught math at a community college, and his mother was a computer scientist who started her own software development company while raising three children. But it was by watching his father that his love for engineering was developed. He went to a small Baptist high school in Ohio, and he graduated first in his class in 97 and then was accepted by Princeton. He was interested initially in rockets and jets, and he spent summers actually doing research on the work of helicopter design. But after accepting a summer undergraduate research fellowship in aeronautics at Caltech, that's what kind of helped to spur his interest in what became his research later on. He worked on a project on the vortices created by swimming jellyfish, and that enticed him to get into the growing field of biomechanics. After he returned to Caltech for graduate school after he graduated from Princeton, summa cum laude. And he was the finalist for both the Rhodes Scholarship and the Marshall Scholarship, just showing how intelligent he was and how way ahead of his time he was. Now, as mentioned, his research was based off of jellyfish. When jellyfish swim, they give off a lot of energy. And when he watched them, he realized that the energy that jellyfish give off when they swim is kind of like it generates jet forces. So he analyzed the fluid vortex rings when they swim, and was able to model the formation of optimal vortex rings. And he was able to experiment with that after seeing these jellyfish, him and some of his colleagues, and confirmed that such propulsion, like if the jellyfish was larger, they would be able to swim faster than any other fish in the ocean because of the way their body works in the water. So him and one of his students actually patented a device which accurately takes measurements that are computed into the kinetic energy due to swimming when, you know, due to the research from jellyfish. Divers use a laser and optic system that illuminated the low field, and the technique allowed for refinement and testing of previous models of vortex formation. And the research has implications not only for the understanding of the evolution and biophysics of jellyfish and how they move in the water, but also other aquatic animals. And it also had it was also able to be applied to a host of other things as well, such as fluid dynamics, from blood flow in the human heart to the design of wind power generators. And this is what led him to his next endeavor. The wind energy industry, you know, had a lot of complaints when they first started. You know, the wind farms with those big wind generators. A lot of people complained about design difficulties, the building costs, eyesore complaints, and bird bat fatalities. But John figured out a way in which he can innovate the wind farm industry. His flow center that we talked about earlier, which is an acronym for, let me see if I can find it. Flow. I can't find it right in front of me right now, but I'm just going to continue with the episode. But so when he was able to innovate the wind farm, he was able to innovate the wind farm industry by using the same research that he used when by watching jellyfish. He through his flow center, he was able to with 24 vertical access turbines, he was able to use more of an economical harvesting of wind energy. See, the way it was before, it was very expensive to, you know, the people who, you know, used the wind energy. But with his innovations, he was able to actually save, you know, these wind farms money by, you know, innovating it and by making it more effective. He noted that there is a constructive interference in the hydrodynamic wakes of schooling fish, and he suggested that extracting energy from flow vortices could aid more than locomotion or the movement of these fish. And his models of the energy extraction mechanisms are applicable to the design and evaluation of hydrodynamic energy conversion systems like wind farms. And he was able to design an array of vertical axis turbines that led to about an order of magnitude increase in power output per area. So he was able to design more turbine engines to get more energy, because the way it was designed before, these wind farms were placed a great distance from each other. So now, by placing more of them closer together, he was able to get more energy from these wind powers. So he partnered up with Windspire Energy at first, and he built up several turbine engines that stand at approximately 30 feet tall and 4 feet wide so that they could generate more energy. And then after that, he started his own company, Scalable Wind Solutions, where he was able to commercialize on the software that he created to optimally place the wind turbines. This led to the U.S. Navy funding development of an underwater craft that propels underwater based off of his concepts, using up 30% less energy than some of their submarines previously. Reverse engineering became a new focus for him later on. In 2012, a team composed of Caltech and Harvard students published a paper that outlined a tissue engineering method for building a jellyfish out of a rat heart muscle cell and silicon polymer. Now, the function of a jellyfish using a muscle to pump a fluid is similar to that of the human heart, which makes the animal a good biological system to analyze for use in tissue engineering. So they were in the early stages of that back then. So the next step of this research would take toward a self-sustaining prototype, one that can gather food and activate muscular contraction internally, like the human heart. So this brother is way ahead of his time on his research. I mean, the thing about it is that he's young. He's born in 1980. So he's only, 38, 39 years old. And for him to be so young, he was offered a tenured position at Caltech at the age of 29. He gave the 2010 convocation address at Caltech. He was appointed the undergraduate dean at Caltech in 2014. And he was elected as a fellow of the American Chemical Society. He was named the Professor of the Month at Caltech in February 2012, and he taught several classes, including a graduate class on propulsion, a biomechanics course, a lab course on experimental methods in aeronautics and applied physics, and the introduction of fluid mechanics course, for which he was highly recommended by students. In 2015, he became a professor at Stanford University and spent a lot of his, he has a great interest in motivating more kids to consider the STEM field, the science, technology, engineering, and math fields. And so he does a great deal in, encouraging young kids to get into those fields as well. But there's so much information on him. And, as far as his research is very, very groundbreaking. And honestly, I wasn't doing it justice by the way I explained it in this episode. So if you could do yourself a favor and look this brother up, John DeBiry, his research is groundbreaking, and he's way ahead of his time. And since he's so young, he has time to continue to make groundbreaking research and to continue to add to history, especially Black history. So, John DeBiry, we thank you for your contribution to Black history and Black culture, and what you're doing and what you will continue to do, and we salute you for it. But as mentioned, there's a lot of research on him, and as far as the research that he's behind, and it's very interesting. So do yourself a favor and look him up if you get a chance. Please continue to support. We're on YouTube, Everyday Black History. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And you can check out the podcast anywhere where you can receive podcasts, such as Apple and iTunes and Google and, Spotify. So. But thanks for the support thus far, and stay tuned for the next episode.